God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. I'm Arari, and I'm a compulsive eater, and I've been in program since August 24 of 97. I think this is better, right? We gotta get closer. I'm a food inventory step maintenance sponsor, and God and I have given away and are maintaining, as of this week, 37 pounds. We will be writing, and anyone who wants to share the writing with us may do so. However, I'd like to remind everyone that we believe that negative thinking is a large part of our disease, so we are learning one day at a time to abstain from negative thinking. In this light, please keep your shares positive and relative to what we are discussing. In this short time together, we will be focusing on the following steps as they relate to self-forgiveness. Step 7, humbly ask him to remove our shortcomings. Step 8, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Step 9, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. And step 10, continued to take personal inventory, and when we were wrong, promptly admitted it. So we're going to go ahead and start with a definition.
According to the definition, a mistake means A, an error in action, calculation, opinion, or judgment caused by poor reasoning, carelessness, insufficient knowledge, etc. And B, a misunderstanding or misconception. Think of a mistake you have made and your self-talk. What happens to you? How long does this last? Focus on what happens to you, not what the mistake was. You will have 3 minutes to write, and those of you who would like to share your writing may do so.
Hi, I'm Betty P. from Kansas City.
Hi, Betty.
Well, thank you for the workshop, and thank you for all the work that went into this conference. Recently, having to do with my flight home from the convention, I decided to change my ticket to represent or to allow me to go to California for a couple weeks before I returned home. I was angry at myself for trying to rebook my flight home. I found a single flight for $50 less than all the others, but lost the booking when I tried to use a credit balance rather than a credit card. When I lost the booking, I was enraged when they wouldn't honor the price when I tried to rebook it using the credit balance. I was agitated, verbally self-abusive, and just pacing the house. I was that angry. I thought, wow, what the heck is going on? I haven't experienced that for such a long time. So I realized that I needed to say the Serenity Prayer and ask God to forgive me and give me self-forgiveness for being clever and not being clever and perfect. I felt immediate relief and serenity. Today I don't need to abuse myself with negative self-talk for days, weeks, months, and years just because I'm imperfect. Thank you, God. Thank you, recovery.
Thank you.
I'm Karen N., compulsive eater food addict.
Hi, Karen.
This just happened recently. I broke a friend's anonymity and to another friend. And we were on a walk. And the whole time I was on this walk, I was thinking, what? What? Why did you do that? You know better. You've been in program a long time. You know how to answer that question of where you met, rather than say where it, you know, happened here. I felt really bad. I chastised myself mentally about, why? How could I do this? You know, do something that I know better. You know, it was just really, and I thought about how I could have acted or what I could have done and said. So, after I made an amends to my friend and program, and I told them how I would answer it next time, and I would just say that we met from a mutual friend. Hello, you know, Bill W., we're mutual friends. So I could have just said we knew each other from mutual friends. And so it was just trying to remember that, you know, we all make mistakes, and to let go of that negative self-talk and just turn it into a positive that, you know, my friend was so forgiving of me that I should just let it go and not keep up the bad self-talk. Thank you for letting me share.
Thank you.
In the big book, the story entitled My Bottle, My Resentment, and Me, you can find that on pages 437 through 445. It finishes with this quote, "Allowed me to make amends to people who had been hurt by my bitterness." And here are the questions. Where have we placed ourselves on this list of amends? And how can we make sure to include ourselves on this list on a daily basis? You have 3 minutes to write, and those that would like to share may do so.
Hi, my name's Linda M. I'm from San Jose, California. Hi, and I'm a compulsive eater. I read this story very recently from my sponsor, and realized that I am the person that I need to make amends to probably the most. When I've thought of my compulsive eating just over the past year, so I've been here in this program for a year, and I have like 170 something days of back-to-back abstinence. And before that, I used to, you know, talk to myself like I would never, ever treat a child the way I treat myself. I would never force a child to eat as much as I do, as I did. I would never force a child to stay up late like I do and avoid things and encourage them to behave the way that I behaved. And that was devastating, and so I felt so ashamed about that. And very glad that I don't have children, because that just seems so awful. I don't know how I would actually treat a child. So I've harmed myself emotionally, mentally. I've neglected relationships by hiding and isolating and lying and not being present because I was dwelling and obsessing on food. I would obsess. I'd be with somebody, but I'd be thinking, okay, as soon as I leave, I'm going to go here. No, maybe I'll go here. Wait, who's got something on sale? Oh, I'm passing, you know, a drive-through on the way home. Or I would think if I was, you know, somewhere where everybody was eating, I would, you know, see what have they eaten and, you know, how much and what am I thinking about them and how much more can I eat before people are going to start judging me about what I'm eating. And so whatever conversation was happening, if I was at a work function, totally not paying attention, right? Because I'm worried about, like, okay, how much can I eat? How soon are we going to be done? Am I going to have 15 minutes to go grab something at the store before I have to get back to my desk? And also the thought of leaving, I think I said that already. I didn't get a chance to quite finish, but you know, I'm grateful that I hit that bottom of being so devastated and disgusted with myself and my behavior. And so, you know, I'm learning now. I'm still recognizing the obsessions that I've had, you know, kind of the habits. But I'm thinking of it in a different way, and how proud I am that I'm not eating the way I used to, and you know, the thought will come up, and then, okay, and I'm doing, and I'm eating abstinently, and it's okay, and then I can focus on what is going on. So, thank you very much for letting me share.
You can go ahead and share, and then
okay. I'm Arliss, compulsive eater.
Hi, Arliss.
where have I placed myself on my list of demands? How do I make sure that I place myself on this list? And yeah, I do need to be first on this list. I didn't realize till I started recovering in this program. I've been in the program since 1973. I started in OA and followed the gray sheet here. It saved my life. It's still saving my life. And I need to be first on this list because I'm the person I hurt the most. I threw Arliss in the closet a long time ago, and I didn't know it. I didn't know anything about living. And it's such a sad thing when I think about it, and I even talked to my sponsees about that, and I said, yeah, but it's not sad anymore. We have a solution. You know, I have a solution today. So my amends to me today are living amends. The best thing I can do is live in a way that nurtures this body, this heart, this brain, the soul that my God gave me. And I didn't realize that that was my job, but it is. That is my most important job today, to take care of what God gave me while I'm on this earth. This program, as long as I abstain, follow the steps, and make it the priority for the day, and trust my God, it does it for me. It's all down there. It's, you know, and being here, it just, it makes it stronger. So I am so grateful. And I'm so grateful today that I know that that is my job. I had no idea. I had no idea how to live my life before I came here. Thank you.
Thank you. Pam, can you read the promises to us, please?
I'm Pam, a grateful compulsive eater.
I'm Pam.
The promises. If we are painstaking about this phase of our development, we will be amazed before we are halfway through. We're going to know a new freedom and a new happiness. We will not regret the past nor wish to close the door on it. We will comprehend the word serenity and we will know peace. No matter how far down the scale we have gone, we will see how our experience can benefit others. That feeling of uselessness and self-pity will disappear. We will lose interest in selfish things and gain interest in our fellows. Self-seeking will slip away. Our whole attitude and outlook upon life will change. Fear of people and of economic insecurity will leave us. We will intuitively know how to handle situations which used to baffle us. We will suddenly realize that God is doing for us what we have never been able to do for ourselves. Are these extravagant promises? We think not. They are being fulfilled among us, sometimes quickly, sometimes slowly. They will always materialize if we work for them.
Thank you. Thank you.
How can we be kinder to ourselves as we trudge the road of happy destiny, paying special attention to the fact that it is of happy destiny and not to happy destiny? What does this mean to you? Do you want me to repeat that?
Yes.
So having heard the promises, how can we be kinder to us, to ourselves, as we trudge the road of happy destiny, paying special attention to the fact that it is of happy destiny and not to happy destiny? What does this mean to you? You'll have 3 minutes to write, and those of you who would like to share can do so. Thank you.
Good morning, Ward Compulsive Impulse Reader.
Good morning.
Anyway, I was a bad boy. I didn't write because I left my pad in my room, but I will share from my heart. It's a very profound concept for me, enjoying the journey and being kind to myself, because, you know, much of my life, it was the destination. I would be happy when I lost the weight. I would be happy when I had a better job. I would be happy, you know, when something happened. And the program has taught me that it really is the journey. Most of my life is the journey. It's not the destination. If I happen to arrive at a destination, I'm not there too long, and I'm on a new journey to a different destination. So most of my time is on the journey itself. Most of my life, I mean, I was really into harsh self-judgment. I mean, literally, just always just wishing my life was different. I should have done this, and beating myself up. And it is really at the core of my recovery to be kind to myself. And when I do that, I'm obviously a better person for other people. I could be of more service to much more people. And when I take care of myself, one thing that comes to mind for me is basically for decades I've wanted to be a writer, and I'm a teacher, so I'm off for the summer. And like this summer, I just said, okay, I'm going to write that book. Have I written that book? No. I've had the most laziest summer in the history of mankind. And you know what? I have to be kind to myself. This is like, I mean, gosh, it's just crazy how I could take something like that and, you know, impede my serenity. But my sponsor's really big on the self-judgment thing. And I just think it's so important for us, you know, for us people that are into self-loathing and things like that, to be kind to ourselves. I mean, it really is something that I have to be aware of. And for the most part, I'm good with it today. You know, I'm more than halfway done with my vacation, and I've written 7 pages. And I'm a stunning writer. I sit down and I'm deadly. But I will putter around and I will do anything to avoid that, which is another issue. But really, I mean, getting back to the main point is we have to enjoy the journey. Wherever we're at, it doesn't matter. I'm here, I'm teaching third grade, it doesn't matter. I have to enjoy the journey. I have to be kind to myself. And life is not easy. Life is one series of problems. It's BS after BS, and your final problem is death. I mean, life is not easy. And it doesn't matter what's going on in my life. I mean, I have to be kind to myself, and I have to practice these principles in all my affairs. And when I'm abstinent and I'm doing that, life is just so much better. Anyway, that's all I have.
I think we're doing good on time. Does anybody else want to share? Okay, thank you.
Hi, my name is Cheryl. I'm a compulsive reader, and I'm from Colorado, Boulder, Colorado. Happy to be here. What came out to me, I was saying about kinder to ourselves of a happy destiny, learning to love myself. Oh, my God, my God. Learning to love myself is a hard job. It's a hard, hard job for me. It does not come instantly, and there is no limit on how long it will take, and probably going to take my lifetime that I'm on this earth. But for me, with my higher power, which I call God, helps me little by little, and I'm working towards it. Being in CEA How gives me the tools, it gives me a guide in life to better myself, to be kinder to myself. Like we say, I'm the worst to myself. I'm the worst to myself. Nobody has to help me along that way. You know, and it's awful, the self-talk. I think back, you know, the self-talk. You know, I remember I've been in 12 steps since the 70s. So I started with OA, gray sheet, and then progressed, and then came to CEAO. And, you know, I just remember always to stand near the mirror and grab my fat and say, God, when am I ever going to lose this? When am I ever going to lose this? You know, and just really self-hate, probably self-hatred than the self-love for sure, you know. But thank you, God, today I'm working towards loving myself one day at a time. That's all I get. I only get today because, you know, I have no guarantee for tomorrow. I can't say, oh, yeah, well, I'm going to live this many years and I'm going to be here forever and all that, which, you know, I know I will not be. You know, but the reality for me is that living just for the day, I get up every morning and I thank God for another day. And I work that day, I do the best I can in my program, I do the tools, whatever I have to do, you know. But I learn, I stay in the day. Because if you said to me, Sheila, this is your life and this is forever, bing, I would say, no, you know. But really, if I live in the day and just take coming back into program, I should say, you know, I came back into program again in February. And, you know, but if I say just for today, this is all I have to do, just today, just Saturday, today, I have to just take care of myself. And that helps me work towards loving myself, liking myself, you know, and it's just, you know, it's a road. It's a journey. It's a journey. Life is a journey. And they got the hills and the valleys, you know. Sometimes I'm in the valley, and sometimes I got to get up back up to the hill. But just for today, I'm grateful that I'm here, and I'm grateful you all are, too, for your experience, strength, and hope.
Thank you.
Hi, I'm Donna, compulsive eater from Houston.
Hi, Donna.
And what I have found is, as far as staying on the road, is never giving up. And no matter what, I keep going. And I have just seen, when I look back of in 1983, not really wanting to be alive and suicidal to where I am today, it's amazing. But freedom takes work. And it's painful sometimes to look, but if what came to mind was in the long version of the Serenity Prayer, it says accepting hardship as the pathway to peace is one of the lines in the long version. And recently, my stepfather, who is very, very close to me, 31 years sober and is in a memory care center and hospice, you know, the only person that really would say, don't beat yourself up, you know, stop beating yourself up. I use the alcohol to beat myself up. And he says, you know, you're a good person, you're a good person, and got me into the rooms. And, you know, I go visit him, and he's like, you know, very thin. And, but I tell you what, he'll say, I'm blessed more than I have a right to be. He can barely breathe because, you know, he smoked for years. And I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. And I'm like, God, what is this about suffering? You know, I don't understand this stuff. And he'll sing over, he sings, he prays over me. I just cry, you know. And I'm like, oh my, and he'll remember me every time I go because I talk recovery. He had that for 31 years. And so he affirms me, and I'm really, you know, sad about having to lose him. But one of the things I recently read was suffering is a way for us to find our true self. And it reminds me about addictions and what brought us in the room, you know, was the pain and the, you know, the hurt. And, you know, as been shared, I'm learning to love myself and be kind, and then I can be that way to others. And so, because I'd been, it's so weird, I'd been asking God about this suffering, you know, thing, and I took a little book that he loves, and I read that section that day, and it was about suffering and, you know, finding joy in that. And, you know, one day that, you know, I just believe things somehow will be made right. And all I can do today is I did this recent meditation at a food meeting, and it was we breathed in, how can I love myself today? You know, how can I love myself today? So anyway, I love you guys. I'm so glad to be here.
Hi, I'm Karen, compulsive eater, food addict.
Hi, Karen.
And I just have to tell you, I've been in program 20 years, and I've had a really great sponsor. She always told me, you know, it's all about learning how to love yourself. And she always told me, when you have a negative thought, say to yourself, I love myself, I forgive myself. And so it's been part of my recovery. Well, about 4 months ago, 3 months ago, I was in this yoga class, and my yoga instructor said, okay, we're going to take a few minutes here and just think about things you love about yourself. And I thought, you know, I have in the extract, I learned how I love myself, but specifically things that I love about myself, oh, okay, I could not think of anything except for my hair. Like, I have good hair. And so anyways, I got, fortunately, we then started yoga, so I didn't have to do anything. But anyways, I thought about it on the way home, and I talked to my sponsor, and I said, you know, I couldn't think of anything. And she said, well, you know what you have to do. And I said, yeah, I have to write, you know, things that I'll make a list of things that I love about myself. And so I did. And I thank God I put it on my phone, you know, the list on my memo pad, because now it's become a part of my routine. Every day, well, I've had for years to write three things that I'm grateful for. After I've given her my question and my food, I write three things I'm grateful for. And now I also write every day three things I love about myself. And there are days where I have to go back to the list on the phone and think, okay, what was it that I wrote that I love about myself? But I can tell you that it's a miracle, because now I have specific things that I love about myself, and it's just changed my attitude. It's like I'm in a new, you know, in a new place in my recovery, and, you know, I was able to do the program and surrender, and, you know, I'm just so such a good space right now, and I just wanted to share that technique with you. Thank you for letting me share.
Okay. Step 10 calls for continued personal inventory. One way to help us change our thinking is to write and reflect at the end of each day. My sponsor has shared that writing three things you have done well in the day and one thing you could do better will help us in being kinder to ourselves. And here are the questions. For today, can you write down three things you've done well so far and one you feel you could improve before the end of this convention? And I'm going to repeat it. Can you write down three things you've done well so far and one thing you feel you could improve before the end of this convention? And you have 3 minutes to write, and those that would like to share may do so.
Okay, who would like to get us started?
Good morning, my name is Pamela. I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Pamela.
And thank you, Marari and Ruby, for presenting this workshop. I love this approach to a 10th step because, as we've been talking about, negative thinking is a large part of our disease. So in this approach to a 10th step, I'm focusing on three positives and one negative. And as you know, as we know, I believe I go to what I focus on. And there's that famous story about the wolves, you know, which wolf will win. It's the wolf you feed. So if I feed the positive as opposed to the negative, that's the direction I'm going. And for today, the three things that I have done positively, I have meditated. I've discharged responsibilities to absent friends. I have two friends who normally are here who weren't able to be here this year, and they each asked me to purchase raffle tickets and gift card tickets, and they had very specific instructions, and I can't remember what they were, but I bought all the tickets. I put them in the things, and so I hope it all works out well. And I have had an abstinent meal, and that's a very positive thing. And as to something I could have done better, so far so good. It's early in the day.
Compulsive eater from Santa Clarita, California. Thank you, ladies, very much. And I wasn't sure if you said three things in our life or just for this weekend, so I thought it was in our life. So one is I kept my marriage together and growing and faithful. Two is I helped raise two very sane, good men. And three is I've done great real estate, made great real estate decisions. And on improve, I wrote just one. but right away, what came to mind is I can improve my friend network within CHOW. One thing that I could be like oversensitive, and I have sponsors or people that I outreach, and I have a lot more time these days than a lot of other people, and I want too much from some people. So like my sponsor is very giving and willing, but it's not enough. And at one point she said, I love you, I could sponsor you, but I can't be your buddy. And it was like she said it in a gentle way. And so I need to find people who are available, so call me. to do more hanging out, more fun things that I do see a lot of people and see how do together, and I want that. Thanks.
Hi, everybody. I'm Roberta, compulsive eater.
Hi, Roberta.
So what I did, the three things I've done well today is I worked out for an hour this morning, 30 minutes of cardio and 30 minutes of weights. I made all my calls and did my writing, and I am really enjoying being here with my fellows and just letting the day unfold as it does. What I'd like to do better is my writing today was about a topic of food as either master or servant. And I had thought about that as, it's really true, food has been my master. Most of my life has revolved around food. What do you want for your birthday, your 10th birthday? What do you want to eat? Oh, I want to do this. Or planning my day, or even now, eating, I can't wait for lunch, I can't. So all of my life revolves around food, and it's my master. And I'm like, it's just food. But what See How and God is helping me to do, because I'm powerless over food, is to say, no. Food is just a servant. It's food that gives me energy for my body to go out and be and do things. So, but I've got to think about that, because the food is out there going, I like being master. I like telling you what to do and when to do it. And I have to keep it in its proper place and keep me in my proper place. So that's what I'm going to try to do today. Thanks for letting me share.
I'm Yvonne, I'm a compulsive eater.
Hi, Yvonne.
And being part of was participating, so that's number one. What are the three things I've done well today? I had an abstinent breakfast, and then I spent some time with God, and then I spent some time with my sponsor, and then I wrote on daily reflections, dressed becomingly, and came to a workshop, gave a hug, and now I'm writing and sharing. And, what a joy to be able to stay in the now. When I can stay in the now, I'm really getting the promises because I've been given the solutions. I just don't want to take the action. I'm lazy. I don't want to take the action to do them. But it's never failed that when I do them, I get the promises. Thank you.
Good morning, I'm Beth, compulsive eater. Three things I've done well this week or weekend. I was willing to present a motion at World Service Business Conference and be active in that process by going up to the mic and sharing pros and cons about different motions. I fixed abstinent food to bring on this trip and eat some of it in my room and eating it abstinently. I've had less defensive conversations in my head with my managers who gave me a negative performance review, and that is a positive thing that I'm working through. But then continue to improve is accept my imperfections around my job behavior and be in the process of trusting God to remove my fears and self-loathing, and I should know better after 5 years. So I'm really hoping through these conferences and fellowship, just knowing I'm human, and willingness to go to more meetings and love myself and accept that my defensive mechanisms somehow protected me, and I don't need that protection anymore. I don't need to protect my ego, because when I turn my life, my will, my ego over to God, God is protecting me and God is my employer. So thanks.
Hi, I'm Elizabeth, compulsive eater. And I'm so grateful to be here and to be in front of the mic, because I'm always not comparing. I don't believe in myself, and so people don't know that about me. So writing three things done well and to do better to improve on yourself. Well, I think of the negatives first. I could improve on connecting on a deeper level with people and on a deeper level with myself and my higher power. Very important. Participating in service when asked more readily without fear of disappointing myself or others. This is an ego and negative thinking that just takes over me. And then where is my higher power? You know, I all of a sudden it's there, but it's not there because I'm taking over, you know. And I have to pray every morning, and I say, God, please remove these fear, these character defects of fear of self-expression, fear of disappointing others, and fear of self-loathing. So I'll stay in my box of isolation. So I need to, one, reach out to others. I'm on the phone bridge a lot, in the meetings. I go to a meeting face-to-face, and just to be there always. And I'm so grateful for my sponsees because, you know, no matter what, and I pick up that phone when it rings. It's reaching out to others on a deeper level that I have to work on. And so I have to just let God speak through me and be with me and part of me and not worry that, because, you know, God does not make mistakes, and I'm fine just the way I am. So I accept myself as I am. Three things I've done positive. I showed up. Oh, my gosh. I showed up. I wasn't going to, you know. For all those reasons I mentioned. I couldn't believe it was my first time I've performed ever, you know, in a singing position and singing and sharing myself, sharing a voice that I didn't even have until I came to this program. So that's the second thing. And to be of service and readily of service whenever I can today throughout my day with others and just being here with all of you and trying to get to know all of you. So I hope I have more outreach calls and that I can be of service and more readily without fear of the ego and perfectionism. Yeah. Thank you so much for letting me share.
Step 7 calls us to be humble and be willing to be shown the way of patience, tolerance, kindliness, and love. And this applies to us first. We cannot move forward in our recovery until we forgive ourselves for whatever it is we have done. Let's remember to monitor our self-talk and to be kind to ourselves as we trudge the road of happy destiny. I wanted to share with you something that I wrote, and having heard the promises, I realized that I have to focus on the process and not the outcome. The road of happy destiny is here now. It is not far and away. I have to open my eyes to what the promises teach me. Self-seeking? Not so much. I'd rather be of service. Self-pity? This I have to work on every day. What helps me with this is a gratitude list. This reminds me to be kind to myself and to be grateful for what I have in all three levels of recovery, physical, spiritual, and emotional. Uselessness? Not if you are going to meetings and need to be of service. So I would like to close this meeting, and I'd like to thank Ruby very much for being of service. This is taking her out of her comfort zone, so thank you. You know, step 12, the first sentence of step 12 says, the joy of living is the theme of AA's 12th step, and action is its key word. And I think when I was thinking about this workshop, I was thinking about, like, the big mistakes, and that's why the first thing that we did was define what a mistake was, and, you know, an error in action, calculation, opinion, or judgment caused by poor reasoning, carelessness, insufficient knowledge, etc. And I was thinking about when I started program and I did these steps initially, I would keep apologizing to this particular person over and over again. And he got to the point where he was like, I got it. I'm forgiving you. And I was like, why do I have to keep doing that? And I realized that I had to forgive myself for what it is that I had done. But that took a few years. I apologized for years for the same thing. And so that's the big picture. But then I also, when I was working on this, I had an email, and I hit reply all. And
And I thought about, like, what's my instinctual thing? What's the thing that I do? And what the process of when I make a mistake, it could be a big thing, it could be a small thing, but the first thing I do is, oh my God, I can't believe you did that. And I have such high expectations for myself. And but I'm not that way with other people. Like, I'm a lot more kinder and a lot more gentler to other people. And I realize as an instructor, because I'm an instructor, that mistakes are a process of learning and they teach us a lot. And that's what I'm trying to do for myself. It's just identifying the mistake, identifying that negative self-talk, and remembering, okay, you made a mistake, but you're okay. You know, you're not the mistake. You made a mistake. And I think that's helping me a little bit be lighter and to be a little bit more loving if it starts with me. So let's close this workshop with the seven-step prayer, page 76 in the AA Big Book. Thank you.
I'm Johnny, compulsive eater.
Hi, Johnny.
Hi, guys. The seven-step prayer. My Creator, I am now willing that you should have all of me, good and bad. I pray that you now remove from me every single defect of character which stands in the way of my usefulness to you and my fellows. Grant me strength as I go out from here to do your bidding. Amen.